Good morning, everybody. It's great to have you here this morning. I'm so excited. There have been months and months of preparations have gone into this six-week series that we're embarking upon today called The Gift. And I want you to pull out your sermon notes. They're inside your worship bulletin. And this 6 weeks is actually a sermon series on the spiritual gifts. But we called the series The Gift for a reason, because the emphasis is on Jesus Christ. The emphasis is on the gift that God has given us. And so this morning, because we just finished 21 weeks in Ephesians, I wanted to do the kickoff message from Ephesians with a passage I spent 3 weeks teaching you. So I am not introducing new material to you today from the scriptures. In fact, we're going to dive in here, and we're going to look at the gift of Jesus Christ and how God wants us, desires of us to receive the gift that he has given us, and then what happens next. Okay, so we're going to dive in. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Once again, I spent 3 weeks teaching through verses 3 through 14. You'll remember the plan, the Father's plan, the Son's provision, and the Spirit's pledge. Those 3 weeks. And now what we're going to do is we're going to look at this, and we're going to use this as a launching platform to talk about the gift and to lay the right foundation for the spiritual gifts. So let's read God's Word. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Father God, you have given us your word so that we may understand who you are and what you have done for us and what you will continue to do in us. So we pray right now, we pray, Father, that you will teach us through your word and through your spirit so we may know how to live our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, friends, this message is called The Gift is for the Glory of God. Now, what I wanted to call this first message was, it's not about you. I thought that would have been relevant in light of some of the issues going on in the evangelical church where people are being told that church is about you. And I was going to say, no, it's not about you. But because I don't want this message to be reactionary to Christendom, we're calling the message, The Gift is for the Glory of God. So let's look at that real quick in your sermon notes. The first point is the Father's gift. The Father's gift. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And how did God do that? How did God bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? Who did God give us as a gift? He gave us Jesus. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 explains this passage to us. For by grace, grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is a gift from God. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't give enough money to receive it. You can't show up at church enough. You just can't do anything. It's grace. It's gift. It's gift, 100% gift. That's who Jesus is. He is the gift. The Bible says he's the indescribable gift. That means no words can comprehend him. Our human language is too limited to fully describe the gift God has given us. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Even the faith you have that allows you to receive Jesus Christ and to be saved is a gift. Everything is a gift. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's about what God has done for you. And even sitting here today, it's a gift that you can be here. It's a gift you have air in your lungs to breathe. It's a gift that your heart's pumping blood through your body. See, the problem with us is we forget that everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. It's not about us. It's about the gift giver. And the Father gave us this gift. Listen to this. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are, this is who we are, friends. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You have been saved with a purpose. There's a reason why the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not raptured to heaven. Because there is work for you to do here on earth. There's a reason you're still here. There's a reason there's still breath in your lungs. There's a reason your heart's still beating. There's a reason. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And friends, one of the most important jobs we have is to make sure this candle is lit every week. This candle is lit today because God used the testimony of Tiffany Lee. Tiffany called me this week just bubbling over joy, saying that I had shared my testimony with an old friend, and little did I know that that testimony became one of the important seeds that brought this person to Christ. She was just catching up with an old friend. She was just checking on someone. She was just in the middle of a conversation that she had no idea that by sharing her story of what Jesus had done in her life, through the loss of her mother, through some other hard circumstances in her life, that when she shared that testimony, that planted a seed that God used. And friends, let's just celebrate that Matt has received eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That, friends, is the gift of the Father to Matt. That's what God does, and he wants you to be a part of that. The Father has chosen you to receive his gift for his glory. Whose glory? His glory. But we flipped it. We make it about ourselves. Let's look at the second point. The Father's gift, the Son's promise. The Son's promise. In him, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. 1 John 3, 1 says that God so lavished his love on us that we are called children of God. Friends, this is the gift of God, and it's the promise of Jesus Christ. That through his death on the cross, through his shed blood, we would be in a right relationship with the Father. Because Jesus takes all of our sins, onto himself. All that removes, all that breaks fellowship with God, Jesus takes on himself. And in that place, Jesus gives us his right relationship with God. He gives us what's called righteousness. And he promises us that through faith in him, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. We have it. It's a promise. And God does not break his promises. God does not go back on his promises. Your salvation is not about your faithfulness. It's about whose faithfulness? God's. Your salvation is about God's faithfulness. Listen to Jesus' promises found in John 14, 12 to 13. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you hear that? That Jesus promises that you will do the same works he did here on earth. That you will continue the work of building the kingdom of heaven. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are promised by God himself that he will work through you. And whatever you ask in his name, it will be done to the glory of the Father through the Son. Friends, this is a promise of God. And when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, you receive the forgiveness of your sins. This is what the Father does for you through his grace. And in an outpouring of God's love, you are saved. We call that being born again. You are saved by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the righteousness of God dwelling in you. You are sealed. You are authenticated. You are set aside as God's own, made holy and righteous. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you that Jesus promised to his disciples in Acts 1:8. And then it's the Holy Spirit in you that begins the work, the process of demonstrating in you. We call it sanctification. Demonstrating in you, through your maturity and through your ministry, God's glory on earth. God wants to show through your maturity and your ministry his glory on earth. Do you get that? God wants to show through your maturity and your ministry his glory on earth. And that's the third point. It's the Spirit's work in you. It's the Spirit's work. The Father's gift, the Son's promise. He's the provision of the Father's plan, and then the Spirit's work. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him. That means you were authenticated. That means he put a stamp of approval on you and said, this is one of my own. You will know he's one of my own or she's one of my own by their maturity and by their ministry. I'm going to give them this through my Holy Spirit. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of your inheritance, of our inheritance. Why? With a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Whose glory? Do you receive the Holy Spirit so you can show off what you got? No, it's for his glory. The Holy Spirit in you is a sign that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And the number one sign that you have the Holy Spirit is that your life exalts Jesus. When your life exalts Jesus, then we know that you are his. Every believer, this is your next point, every believer receives. When you accept Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, and we did a 9-week series on this last winter called The Fruit of the Spirit. Every believer receives all the collective fruit of the Spirit, which demonstrate your maturity in Christ. Listen to Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are nine. It's a collective singular. It's a collective singular, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit seals you, authenticates you, he does so by giving you his character. Friends, you've got to realize that the fruit of the Spirit are different than the gifts of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit demonstrate your maturity in Christ. Every believer receives all the collective fruit of the Spirit, which demonstrate your maturity in Christ. You have the fruit of the Spirit. The question is, are you manifesting them? Are you demonstrating them? The Holy Spirit wants you to glorify God. But do you glorify God in your immaturity? Do you glorify God when you go about acting like an impatient, unloving, unkind person? No. He wants your words and your life to be aligned with him. So why fruit? Why does he give us fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ given to us at the time of our salvation by the Holy Spirit, so that as we mature, listen to this, as we go through the process of sanctification, as we develop in our character, so that as we mature in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we display, we put on display, we showcase, we demonstrate to the world that is watching, we display what? What do we display, church? The glory of God. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God being manifested through your life. You don't become a good person so that people will show up at your calling. You don't be a good person so that you can get all these benefits from it. You become a different person, a new creation in Christ, who demonstrates the character of Jesus Christ so that the world may see his glory. The Holy Spirit is not about you having something someone else doesn't have. The Holy Spirit is about filling you with the maturity and the ministry of Christ. And let's look at our last point. Every believer receives at least one. At least one, if not multiple, if not more of the gifts of the Spirit, which demonstrate your ministry for Christ. We all have the fruit of the Spirit. It's whether we're demonstrating them. But not all of us have the same gifts. You're not going to have some of my gifts. I'm not going to have some of yours. Because the gifts of the Spirit demonstrate your ministry for Christ. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and then verses 4 through 7. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. The Apostle Paul is very clear. You must know about spiritual gifts. You cannot be ignorant of this. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given. That means to every single believer, if you are born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted the gift of the Father, have received the promise of the Son, and have been filled with the pledge of the Holy Spirit, where he's working in you to authenticate who you are in Christ, then you will manifest the Spirit for the common good. The common good, the building of his church, the building of his kingdom on earth, the spreading of the good news of the gospel, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Friends, spiritual gifts are not about you. They are not about you. Spiritual gifts are given to you because it's about him. So let's stop making the Holy Spirit about me and what I have and you don't have. We have received the Holy Spirit because we are his, and now he's working in us so that our lives will demonstrate him. Listen to Ephesians 4, 15 to 16. We are, this is the church, we are to grow up. That means we've got to attain a mature understanding of the Word of God. And stop living in our hang-ups and our brokenness of past issues with denominationalism and people living in excesses and bad teachings of these things. We have to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head. There is only one head of the church, and that is Jesus Christ. It is not your pastor. It is Jesus. Even Christ, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. According to, listen to this is so important. If you miss this, you've missed being the church. You could have attended church your whole life, and if you don't know this, you've never been a part, well, you've never really fully been a part of the church yet. You've got to get this. According to the proper working of each individual part. The church will not grow because you have a new, more eloquent pastor. The church will not grow because you have a more professional band playing music. The church will only grow when every individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. We will only grow as the church when every individual person with the fruit of the Spirit, which is their character, is walking in maturity, and when you're using your spiritual gifts for the common good. Why gifts? The gifts of the Spirit are the ministry. Every single one of us is a minister of reconciliation. Every single one of us is called to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are the ministry given to us at the time of our salvation. You were given these gifts at the time of your salvation for the sake of building up the body of Christ in love and unity. God wants to build His church in love and unity so that why? So that the glory of God can be displayed in us. Why does God want us to have spiritual gifts? For whose glory? His glory. What does God want to do with His church? Does He want to tear it apart and be decisive about spiritual gifts? Or does He want to build us in unity and love? He wants to build us. Will we let God build us? Will we let God unify us? Will we let God show us His love so that the glory of God may be displayed in us? Friends, we are His church. We are the beloved of Christ. Friends, this is who we are. This is who we are. We are Spirit-filled, born-again believers. We have received the fruit of the Spirit. We have received spiritual gifts so that God's glory, why? So that the glory of God may be made demonstrated, may be made visible through your life and mine. God, I just thank You so much. I thank You so much that You have given us Your gift, Jesus Christ. I thank You for Your work, Jesus. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we will attain a mature understanding of the work of the Trinity so that we will no longer be divided or tossed here and there by wrong doctrines and by wrong teachings, but we'll be unified in the work of God in us, who wants us to grow up, to be mature, and to do ministry. To see this community come to know Jesus, to see lives changed, Father. Glorify us. Glorify us. Glorify us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.